97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
Joining us now is a senior legal fellow with the Heritage Foundation, Hans von Spakovsky. Thank you so much for joining us on the show today, Hans.
Ryan, thanks for having me.
There's a lot going on, but in particular, you're a great legal mind. And looking at what's going on between Harvard and the Trump administration contends, all right, Harvard, if you're going to harass Jews on your campus, then maybe you shouldn't be getting federal money. Harvard says, no, we should be allowed to do that. So they're fighting back at the Trump administration. That might be too general in the way I'm portraying this, but I wanted to talk about these Harvard lawsuits. Is there anything that stands out in these lawsuits to you?
Well, what stands out to me is how, frankly, shocking it is at Harvard having done absolutely nothing to stop the rampant anti-Semitism that infected its campus, its faculty, that led to the harassment, even physical assaults of Jewish students. And when the federal government finally comes in and wants to do something about it, what do? They file suit. And remember, all of this was going on during the Biden administration. And what did the Justice Department or the Biden administration do about it? They refused to do anything about it.
Mm-hmm. And part of that, was it just more acceptable then? The answer is no. So you finally have someone that's doing something about it when it comes to the Trump administration, saying that we can't treat human beings like this. You can't on a public university campus, well, I guess not public, but at least the case of Harvard, you can't do this on a college campus where you have people threatening physical violence against someone because they're Jewish. And right. To say that, okay, we're going to give you a chance to clean this up. We gave other universities a chance to clean this up. The other universities did clean it up because they agreed this is not the right thing to be doing. I don't know why Harvard's digging into the sand on something like this. Like it's a giant constitutional protection that they should be able to harass Jews. I don't understand that.
Well, I tell you what people ought to realize is the history, the frankly bad history of Harvard University. This is like a repeat of what Harvard did. Harvard is infamous for in the 1920s. The president of Harvard, this has all been documented. The president of Harvard decided there were too many Jewish students getting accepted at the university. They were doing extremely well. They had outstanding academic credentials, and he didn't like that. And that's he put in measures to specifically try to exclude Jewish students from getting accepted. Have you heard the term all the universities use called the holistic admissions process, you know, one where they try? That was invented by Harvard in the 1920s to keep Jewish students off the campus. And that's the kind of behavior. Look, the other thing that occurs to me as a, you know, an everyday American out in the provinces is, why is Harvard even getting any federal money? They have an endowment of over $53 billion. I don't know. My kids didn't go to Harvard. I don't have any. None of my brothers or sisters' kids went to Harvard. Why is my tax money going to this elite private university with a $53 billion endowment? I don't think they ought to be getting any federal money.
Hey, Hans, this is Brad. Real quick. The argument that I'm seeing, and actually we've got the YouTube live chat poll, live chat going on here, and I'm seeing it from some of the left-leaning members of our chat. They're wondering, well, what is it about this? How is this not a violation of the First Amendment?
Because discrimination against students, including allowing and encouraging a hostile physical environment. Look, there's video out there of Jewish students being attacked on that campus. That is a violation of the 1965 Civil Rights Act. You cannot engage in that kind of behavior in the educational setting. That is discrimination, blatant discrimination. And under federal law, if you as a university violate the Civil Rights Act and other education acts, you are not entitled to federal funds.
Mm. Can I point out something else? And this goes back to the Biden administration, which kind of shows the pattern that Harvard has. If you remember, one of the controversies with Supreme Court, now Supreme Court Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson, was that, you know, she was associated with Harvard. She was part of their board of overseers. And part of their game plan was, hey, we're Harvard. We have too many Asians. So we need to discriminate those of Asian descent because we should be allowed to do this sort of thing. So I think Harvard has a pattern of discriminating against minorities, let it be Asians or Jews or whatever it may be. And finally, someone called them out for it, saying this is not normal. It happens to be the Trump administration. So why is it that Harvard feels like in their, you know, keep in mind, they want to be looked at as the top institution in the world, that they should be immune from discrimination laws? Because the Supreme Court, yeah, I know that Supreme Court Justice Brown Jackson decided that she didn't have to sit in that one because there was a conflict of interest. But still, the Supreme Court didn't like the idea when it came to admissions and Asians. So why would they be okay with this?
Well, because, and I looked very intensely when this case was up, the one you're talking about, I looked very intensely at the, I knew the lawyers in that case. I looked at and reviewed the discovery that they did, the depositions of Harvard administrators, the physical evidence, documents they've had. The Harvard administration, they believe there's nothing wrong with that kind of discrimination. That this is a matter of ideology. They think that they were doing the right thing by discriminating, for example, against Asian American kids. They thought there was nothing wrong with it. And remember, when the Supreme Court issued that decision against Harvard saying, no, you cannot discriminate, that's a violation of the Civil Rights Act, Joe Biden actually came out and gave a speech and encouraged Harvard and other universities to ignore the Supreme Court and the Civil Rights Division of the Justice Department, which is supposed to enforce that law, refused. Not only refused to go after Harvard, actually went to the Supreme Court and supported Harvard's claim that they ought to be able to discriminate.
I look at that and I think to myself, you can substitute, you know, you can say these people of Asian descent that were discriminated when it came to admissions. But to me, it opens up the door of all these other areas where they could be discriminating. It might not just be admissions, but me logically would be thinking to myself, it's probably stretches way past that. Then we see it on the campuses in the way that they treated Jewish members of their community, the ones that they were allowing to be harassed on their own campus. Can I play a clip for you from Harvard law professor Lawrence Tribe? And let me get your reaction to this, Brad. This is clip number one.
Well, it's really hard, Lawrence, to know where to begin. He's obviously unhinged. He has no idea what he's talking about. He just thinks that slinging around, frankly, BS about the people at Harvard and other institutions will somehow substitute for taking the law into account.
All right, so basically criticizing the Trump administration, calls his attacks on schools unhinged. What do you think of that?
Well, I suggest that he's maybe gotten too old to watch the actual videos or to read the complaints filed by Jewish students, for example, who, as I said, were intimidated, harassed, attacked. Look, I know of a professor at one of these universities. He's a friend of a friend who is Jewish, who's had to hire private security to protect himself on campus. And because the university won't do it. That's the kind of misbehavior that we have been seeing at places like Columbia and Harvard University. And for the professor to try to deny it's happening, well, he's not living in the reality of Cambridge, Massachusetts.
Mm. When we just look at this case, just based on what's written, so when you look at some of the different legal standings leading into this, how do you think this will play out?
Harvard has no constitutional right to federal funding. So, they're going to get friendly judges in the Boston area, I'm sure, to rule in their favor initially. But that's exactly what happened in the admissions discrimination case. Mm. You know, Harvard was sued. The lower court judge there refused to go against the very powerful Harvard University. So did the Court of Appeals. It went to the U.S. Supreme Court, and Harvard lost. That was a place at the U.S. Supreme Court where all their money and all their powerful alumni could not change the results.
Yeah. Can I tell you something else that drives me crazy? I saw those reports, and I think it was the New York Post today. They were showing some of the salaries of these professors, and there was one professor, I think they were the seventh or eighth highest paid person on the campus. One professor makes $1 million a year. Why are we giving money to Harvard if they can afford to pay professors $1 million a year? They don't need money if that's the case. This is so ridiculous to me that I know it's a matter of principle for Harvard. And I will say this, what principle are they standing on? The principle to say they have the ability and they should have the unchecked ability to harass minorities. I don't understand that principle.
Well, if they want to be able to do that, it's wrong under, like I said, under the Civil Rights Act of 1964, and fine, then don't take any federal money. Don't expect all of us in the rest of the country to have our tax money going to you when you've got a $53 billion endowment.
Right. So, Hans, what have you been working on lately? You have a podcast now.
You know, I actually have started a podcast. It's called Case in Point. And our latest episode is going to get released this afternoon, and I interview one of the senior policy analysts at the White House. So this is an aide to President Trump. So I got some pretty interesting people.
So the podcast is called Case in Point, and it's available wherever you get your podcast. Of course, with the Heritage Foundation, you write articles, and I see them. And I got to tell you, Hans, you are such a great legal mind. I'm glad that you are expanding into the podcast world. I can't wait to hear this because this will be I haven't actually got to listen to the show yet. So this will be my first. So I'm looking forward to it. Case in Point, wherever you get your podcasts. And Hans, if people want to look you up online, where else can they go?
They can go to heritage.org/case in point. Very easy.
Oh, that's a real easy spot to find it. Hans von Spakovsky. Wow. Let's see how this plays out. I know there's going to take time and all these legal issues take a long time to go through the courts. It must be hard, at least in modern time, for you to keep up because it seems like the Supreme Court has been taking on a lot of emergency cases as of late. So it's like before you used to have a couple of years leading into a trial or a case. And now it's like, man, they crank them out. It seems like every other week there's something new. So
It is. I just got a list of temporary stays. They just issued 8 cases just in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's lightning speed for these court cases. Hans von Spakovsky, thank you so much for joining us here today. We really appreciate it.
Sure thing. Thanks for having me.